this world, there's two kinds of people, my friend. Those with loaded guns, and those who dig. You dig.
Kino Otok. Signali. Vsak, ki je že kdaj v začetku junija obiskal festival Kino Otok, verjetno ve, da se med festivalom v Izoli vse začne in konča pri svetilniku. Zato se ne gre čuditi, da je po njem poimenovana tudi programska sekcija, tako imenovani signali. Med signali je bilo letos od šestih filmov moč najti le dva nedokumentarna filma, zatorej začnimo kar z enim od teh.
Ti si moj Marx, ti si moj Engels, ti si moj Stalin, ti si moj Hitler, ti si moj Tito, ti si moj Tuđman, ti si moj Milošević.
Jebate Tito, Hitler, Milošević, svi te jebali, umokni!
Film Damirja Čučića z naslovom Pismo očetu je bil sprva načrtovan kot kratek igrano-dokumentarni film, vendar je tekom nastajanja navkljub izjemno nizkemu proračunu prerasel v dolgometražno tematizacijo odnosa oče-sin in to tako uspešno, da je lani, čeprav je bil na puljskem festivalu sprva kot nekakšen outsider skoraj da spregledan in ni bil prikazan v areni, nato prejel celo zlato areno za najboljši film. Osrednja tema filma je torej univerzalna. Frustracija disfunkcionalnega odnosa z očetom v izrazito patriarhalni družini. Sinov strah pred projekcijo očetovega, milo rečeno, težkega karakterja nase, skupaj s posledičnimi težavami v komunikaciji, ki so se skozi leta le še izostrile in za seboj pustile več neizrečenega kot izrečenega. Film je navdih dobil v resničnem odnosu Milivoja Bedarja, glavnega igralca v filmu, z njegovim lastnim očetom. In prav zato, ker Bedar pravzaprav odigra svojo lastno zgodbo se kot nekakšen proces očiščenja skozi igro, vse skupaj zdi tako avtentično. Večplasten prikaz kompleksnega odnosa, ki se sicer konča v nekakšnem pomirjujočem dead endu, se začne z videopismom ali pa bolje rečeno mantričnim videoobračunom, v katerem v close-upu gledamo sina, kako, ko kamero vzame za nekakšno spovednico, svojo izpoved pa zaliva z rakijo, očetu zmeče pod nos vse travme in sodbe, ki so se v njem dolgo kopičile. Na videz preprosto dramsko strukturo zaplete nelinearna naracija. Film pa se giblje na meji med dokumentarnim ter eksperimentalnim, kar lahko pripišemo tudi dejstvu, da je Čučić bolj poznan kot režiser dokumentarcev. Bedarjeva autobiografska pripoved s primesmi fikcije je bila namreč posneta brez scenarija. V zadnjem delu filma, ko se oče v vlogi mata Guline in sin soočita, pa je šlo celo za improvizacijo med glavnima igralcema. Zasluge za izjemne detajle, ki jih morda tako improviziranemu filmu ne bi pripisali, pa gredo verjetno dejstvu, da Čučić, kot je rekel, z istim direktorjem fotografije sodeluje že skoraj 20 let in sta uigrana že kot nekakšen majhen jazz band. Pa preidimo k naslednjemu signalu. Želimir Žilnik se je tokrat na Kinu Otok predstavil z dokumentarnim filmom Ena ženska, eno stoletje, s katerim je preko zgodbe Dragice Srzentič zaobjel filmski obraz enega stoletja. Lahko bi rekli, da to ni Žilnikov tipičen dokumentarec, predvsem zato, ker se usmerja na zgodbo ene same osebe. Pogovor z Dragico, v katerega Žilnik skoraj da ne posega in je le dodatno nadgrajen z animiranimi ilustracijami ter arhivskimi posnetki, je poskus zaobjetja preteklosti ženske, ki je prešla iz revne deklice iz male istrske vasi prek partizanke, govorke za Balkan na BBC-ju v Londonu, do ključne figure na ministrstvu za zunanje zadeve v povojni Jugoslaviji, ki je kot kurir Stalinu v Moskvo odnesla famozen Titov ne, pa vse do kasnejše obsojenke v tem istem režimu na Golem otoku. Dragica, ki v filmu na vprašanje znancev kako si, živahno odgovarja, da je še vedno živa in ki si pri svojih skoraj stotih letih med fascinantno zgodbo, ki jo brska iz neverjetno natančnega spomina, prižge tudi kakšen cigaret, ima izjemen talent za pripovedovanje. Zato se zdi, kot da se je Žilniku zgodba posnela kar sama. O glavni junakinji pa je nekaj besed spregovoril tudi na pogovoru po projekciji filma.
Je bio jedan tehnički problem, ona, kao što vidite, se dosta teško kreće, a onda i slabije čuje, mada s druge strane neke druge svoje funkcije tako fenomenalne, kao da to sećanje mozak, da prima bolju memoriju nego cijela moja ekipa, dobro je fascinirao. Da, s druge strane, da prima tu jednu osobinu koja je osobina koju mi sad više sebi nećemo da ni da priznamo da može da bude, kako da kažem, inkorporirana u naše prirode, a to je da je dosledna, da ništa ne zaboravlja, da istoriju ne falsifikuje, nego onako kako se desilo, ona pokušava da se seti da kaže, znači, kod nje nema tog, kako da kažem, menjanja strana kako se te političke promjene
dešavaju. Žilniku je bilo torej prav dejstvo, da Dragica ne spreminja zgodovine bistveno. Ni želel jugo nostalgije, niti romantiziranja in ravno Dragica je svojo zgodbo o uspehu in kasnejši obsodbi hvaležen lik za prikaz obeh strani medalje takratnih jugoslovanskih ideoloških ter intelektualnih prepletanj, pa čeprav je ob koncu projekcije filma v kinu Odeon gospod iz občinstva to ravnovesje z glasnim vzklikom:
"Tito je heroj, Janša je pa navaden gnoj!"
vsaj malce porušil. Pa preidimo še k tretjemu filmu, filmu avtorja Silvena Žorža z naslovom Okruški, moja usta, moj upor, moje ime. Silvan Žorž, pesnik, filmar in aktivist, ki se je sicer na kinu Otok predstavil s še enim filmom, z Okruški nadaljuje tematiko, ki jo je načel v filmu Naj počivajo v uporu iz leta 2011, nekakšnem filmskem eseju o emigracijski politiki, kakršno je tri leta spremljal v za to problematiko emblematično mestu Calais na severu Francije, o katerem nam je povedal naslednje.
When Nicolas Sarkozy was Minister of Interior of Jacques Chirac before he was president in 2002, he took the decision to close a center managed by the Red Cross and where some migrants can take some shower and food or something like that. And the consequences of the closing of this center is that all the migrants were disseminated on the coast, on the north coast of France, with a big fixation in Calais, because Calais is the bigger town in the north, and a town very close from England, you know, and with a lot of parking and trucks, and the person can take a truck and something like that. So since 2002, this place is very, very, very famous in France. You have a lot of media, a lot of you have always some media on this place, sometimes the students, sometimes the big company production of cinema, sometimes it's TV, sometimes it's the students in journalism or filmmakers, something like that. And when I start to work, and this place is very, for me, interesting because it's, as I said, a place where the media came, and at the same time, it's a place where the politicians come to try to expose their vision of the policies of immigration, and sometimes come to have some visibility to give, come in the place to give some visibility for their own career. You know, it's why it's what I tried to show in the previous film. And in this place, it's very interesting because for me, it's an emblematic place about what are the policies about immigration in Europe. Calais is a small town, it's the biggest in the north, but it's very small. And you can see very clearly what are these kind of policies and the half of these policies. So, for example, you can see very clearly the dispositif which apply the policies. So you can so see always some policemen running after the migrant. You can see the migrant, some trace or gesture of the migrant everywhere in the town and outside the town. You can see the squat or the jungle outside the town where some migrants live. The police beat them, put some gas, tear gas or something like that. And so it's very emblematic. It's very visible, you know. You can find this kind of dispositif in some other town in France, but in Calais it's very visible, you know. You sit down in a cafe like that, you take a coffee, and suddenly you see the truck and the migrant arrested by the police. And so this place is for me, in this place you can, when I say that you can see the earth of the policies about immigration, it's more, it's the earth of a characteristic of the policies, the public policies right now. I think that now in the in some policies that the state and the government can make, these policies create something like a gray zone, you know, something like an exception zone. It's not indeterminate, it's determinate in space and time, but in Calais, for example, sometimes this place become like a space of exception where the rights of the people are not respected by the people who are in charge to respect the law, you know, to, for the people. And the rights of the people are like in suspensions, you know, so it's like an exception state. And I think this kind of gray zone that you can see very clearly with the policies about immigration is a part of the policies, the public policies right now in the modern state, and can touch everybody. So I took the decision to start my work about the policies about immigration in Europe and the social mobilization by this place, you know. I thought that it was interesting to try to show some situation and scene that some other report or documentary didn't show. So to try to understand how the policies modify the ground, you know, have an application on the body of the people, you know, for example, when the people burn their fingerprint, is directly a consequence of the policies about immigration. You can see, you know, sometimes we can see like that, to say that the policies about immigration mark with a red steel the migrant is not a metaphor, you know, it's really the reality. So I thought that it was interesting to open my work by this place, famous, with a lot of representation, but with some representation which doesn't agree with me, you know. Sometimes it's very compassionate, sometimes it's very close of the vision of the power, and I thought that it was interesting to open this work by this place. So I make a first film, Everest in Revolt. So I go on the place, sorry. At the beginning I wanted to make a short sequence, 20 minutes, something like that, and I planified to stay 20 minutes, to stay 3 months, sorry. And when I was on the place, I met a lot of people, you know, and I felt that staying on the place just 3 months wasn't necessary, and I took the decision to stay as long as necessary.
Okruški so torej prav zares odtrgani drobci, saj so v filmu prikazani novi trenutki istih epizod bega, pregona, obupa ter upora. Kar je sprva načrtoval kot 20-minutno sekvenco prvemu filmu, je postal še en dokumentarno-umetniški izraz, prezentacija, a ne reprezentacija, kot sam poudarja, ljudi, ki so ilegalni. Za Georgea je kino namreč dialektična metoda, je orodje, ki mu dovoljuje vzpostavitev kritične kakšnega dialoga s svetom. Okruški so lirična pripoved, ki se skoraj povsem vzdrži besed in se osredotoča predvsem na podobo. Đorđeva osebna estetika, torej močan črno-bel kontrast, nasičenost, razbeljenost slike in približani osvetljeni obrazi skupaj z zvoki, predvsem agresivno tišino z umestnimi ocekanimi signali in drobci besed ali glasbe delujejo kot nekakšne politične izjave. George svoj način dela opisuje takole.
And when I start my work, I wanted to produce some knowledge in the same time, because my if I want to take position and make some pictures which take position in front of the policies of art immigration, for example, in the same time I would like to understand what is this politics by the consequences of these policies on the ground, you know. So it's a little bit as a work of knowledge in the same time, and a deconstruction of some representation that the media or the politics can give about the event. So it's the both way. And I thought that perhaps it will be interesting to do that, to make to present some event and subject with another medium that the medium use generally now by the media, you know. So I thought that perhaps it will be interesting to choose a medium really different than the video, you know, and make a plastic a construction and deconstruction of the event and the representation. And of course, the Argentique is very clear, you know. It's now we have everybody have the habit to see the pictures of the video. So if you use the film for that, it's very clear, you know. You propose something else by the, and you can make a criticism by the choice to use a medium, but. It was impossible for the in terms of economic for my project. So I took the video, but I didn't want to take the video like that because it wasn't possible to work in film. So I start to think about the idea of video. Why the video? What is this medium? How I can try to work about the power of and the resources of the medium, something like that. And very quickly, I had the same reflection. I thought that perhaps the same reflection to try to make a construction and a deconstruction, a plastic and a plastic critique and construction of deconstruction of the representation, and perhaps it will be more interesting to use the video to share this medium, this common medium, and propose something else, you know. So of course, my posture is different. I'm not a journalist. I'm a filmmaker. Of course, I have my own process and rules to work and something like that. But when I start to work in video, I experiment different kind of things with the video, you know, and I try to learn, you know, explore the resources of the video, and the black and white, the frozen pictures, the slow motion, some technique of the avant-garde in the same time, is a way to is a part of the resources of the medium, and when you use something like that. You can make a distanciation. You can, of course, attest about some reality. In the same time, create something very radically different and with a distanciation with the common representation. You know, so it's like that. After the black and white, for me, is very important. Perhaps you know, it's an illusion to think that we saw in colors. Or if you read some scientific studies, you know, we don't see the reality in colors, and the colors of the video is an interpretation, you know, something like that. So perhaps the black and white is more realistic than the colors, you know. So it's interesting to destroy the stereotype. In the same time, now the black and white is have a political connotation. For in the main cinema or on the TV, you know, the black and white is a part of the past. You know, if you see pictures in black and white, they is the doxa, you know, right now. It's a synonym of an event from the past. It's an archive or something like that. So I thought that it was interesting to play with this main doxa and dominant doxa and this stereotype, you know, and to make a dialectical reverse, you know, about that. So to working about some things very, 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 very close, you know, some part of the extreme contemporary in certain senses, and and with the black and white. So something which appears come as very far is very close. And something very close in the same time become very far, you know? You have like a dialectical of the far and the close. And it's a way, of course, to try to work about the policies of immigration right now, you know, and to take a new corner perspective, yeah. And in the same time, is a way to destroy the common representation and the political discourse. Because of course, when they say yes, the black and white is from the past, is an event of the past. In the same time, one of the idea is to say it's from the past, it's not from the present. And if it's not the present, it's because the present is better than the past and less better than the future. You know, it's the myth of the progress. In the human sciences, you know, the myth of the progress is broken. But in the society, it's very present. This myth is still present and alive. And a lot of political discourse takes some support about on this myth, you know.
I know. V filmu Okruški je v ospredju človeški faktor. George brez patosa dela s subjekti, pri katerih migracijska politika pušča sledove tudi na telesih. Izžiganje prstnih odtisov tu namreč ni nikakršna metafora. Migrantov ne vidi kot generična bitja, kot žrtve, marveč kot posameznike in politične subjekte. Zato je drugačen tudi njegov pristop do njih.
I think that if a film tries to present some view of the reality, you know, with my own interpretation, of course, you know, the first step perhaps is to learn to present himself to the people that you want, like to record, you know. What am I right to go in the place and shoot some pictures about people who sleep under the bridge or in a very bad situation, something like that, you know? It's not really evident, you know? So the first step is to understand why and me, I'm interested by these kind of things and what I would like to do and how. After I go in the place and I present myself to the people, you know, who are you? Because they know, you know, in this place you have a lot of media, but all the migrants met on the trip a lot of media in Greece, or you know, in Greece, in Patras, you have a lot of journalists, did the same thing in Lampedusa. So they know the camera, they don't like the camera. So the first step I try to present myself, who I am, which kind of filmmaker I try to be, which kind of film I would like to do, which kind of aesthetic I would like to develop, in which economy I work. I try to give a lot of information like that, to present myself a little bit, you know. And I spend some time with some people. Of course, some people are agree, some other ones no. But I spend some time with the people. I'm not. I haven't focused about the idea to make pictures. Because when you go on a place, for example, you have a lot of journalists and filmmakers, and they are upset by the pictures, by the result, you know. And I think it's more interesting to respect the process. If you take your time to each step of the process, you know, meet the people, spend some time with them, discuss, try to have a relation with the guys, with a lot of trust and respect and something like that, after you can receive a lot of information, you can make something very, very, very interesting.
Z Okruški pa tudi zaključujemo v pogled v otoške, kino otoške signale. Gledala in pisala je Petra M.
You see, in this world there's two kinds of people, my friend. Those with loaded guns. Those who dig. You dig.